You got it. Throughout this past year, we've been looking at how we as God's people can accept the call of God for our life and what we need to do to fulfill God's plan for our life. And the last two messages were about accepting this call and to do that by having our whole heart involved, putting our whole heart into it. We saw that the heart is considered by God to be the essence of who we are as a person. And we know that God sees and judges us not as other people do, but He judges us by our heart. He's able to look right into our hearts and see the entirety of our being, who we are, what we are inside. A couple of weeks back, I spoke about accepting that God with all of our heart. But then last week, we had a little bit of a break. I did, and then last week I came back and looked at another aspect of the heart, about looking at the diseases of the heart, the things that can hinder our relationship with God when our heart is not right, different things that can go wrong with our heart. We saw that when Jesus was first beginning His ministry, He announced the beginning of His ministry with a quote from Isaiah 61:1, and He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release the prisoners from darkness." See, He came to heal our broken hearts so that we could operate and function out of a whole heart, and that way we would be free to love and serve God the way we were designed to love Him and serve Him, with our whole heart, with our whole being. And this way we could fulfill our purpose and our calling, which we can't really do if our heart is all messed up, if our heart is broken. We saw in Proverbs 4:23 that God calls our heart the wellspring of life. And the life that He wants us to live can only happen out of a full heart, a whole heart, a full life coming from a whole heart attitude, a healed heart. We're told that we have to guard our heart above all else, above everything else. Guard your heart. We saw, not only did we see about how the heart can be diseased in so many ways, but last week we also saw how we can protect and heal, that heart can be healed. Now, another aspect of the ministry of Jesus that went along with the healing of the broken hearts was also recovery of sight for the blind. And we know that Jesus did literally heal blind people. He gave them back their sight. And many people saw those miracles. It was something very outward, something very obvious. But as always, the natural has a spiritual counterpart to it. And Jesus not only healed people's eyesight in the physical realm, but He also came so that He could heal our spiritual ability to see, our ability to see into the eternal, into the spiritual realm. God wants us to be able to see there. He wants us to know what's really going on around us. Not just what we can see, but there's so much more happening. And He knows that for us to be able to really see and believe something in the eternal or in the spiritual realm, we need to take it in not only with our mind, but we have to be able to get hold of it into our heart and be able to see, in a different way beyond just our eyes. And that's why today I want to read this scripture to you in Ephesians 1:18. It's a prayer, and it explains about what I want to talk about today. Ephesians 1:18 and part of 19, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for those who believe. See, God wants to enlighten or put light, you know, so that we can see with the eyes of our heart. That's another part of healing the broken heart. Romans 10:9 makes it very clear that we believe in our heart. That's where we hold our deepest beliefs. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that in our heart we can hold different thoughts and attitudes. And that's possible because we have, you know, we have the ability to see beyond the natural and into the spiritual, but that could only happen when we have a faith. And in that faith, we can see, you know, out into the spiritual realm. And that faith, we could really call that the eyes of our heart. So God wants us to see and recognize him in all of his creation, in all that's around us, in all that we experience. He wants us to be able to see all these different things that are happening, all that's around us, just like it talks in Romans about how we should be able to see him because of the beauty of his creation. He expects us to be able to understand that he's behind creation. And he wants us to understand that he's behind the things that are happening, the things that we're feeling, the things that happened to us. That he's working in all these things. Remember, he's working all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we're part of those called people. So what does it mean to see with the eyes of our heart? It means that we're not going to be trusting in just the natural eyes anymore, but believing in what God has revealed to us through his Holy Spirit, even though we can't see it, even though we can't see it with our eyes, but we can still believe it and know it. That's how being enlightened by having our eyes opened. The eyes of our heart sort of open the door to faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, we can't see it here, but we can see it in here. That's the faith. To see in the Spirit, to see with the eyes of our heart, faith must be involved. Faith in God's truth, faith in God's word. And we as God's people have been called to walk by faith, not by sight. And yet how many times have we not believed in the spiritual realm or things that are happening in the spirit or God's hand in something because we couldn't see it? It's not that we just purposely want to say, no, I won't believe in God. I'm not going to believe in that. We wouldn't think that way. But because we don't see it, we just tend to not think of God, out of sight, out of mind. And so things happen, and we don't see God. Bob has a little saying he always says. He goes, oh, yeah, it's a coincidence. And, you know, saying that with the little quotation marks, you know, because we know that it's not really a coincidence, that God's behind that. And it's true. God's behind all the things that are going on. And, you know, whether we see it or not, there's stuff that is happening that God is doing around us all the time. How many times have we gotten a word from God or a prophecy or a direct revelation, but because we couldn't see it, you know, as clear as the problem that was right in front of us, we sort of just ended up letting it go. You know, we get this word and we think it's wonderful, and then all this stuff starts happening, and then we forget about the word because this stuff that's happening, that's real. That's what we think. It's real because we can see it with these eyes. But God wants us to see things with the eyes of our heart, with faith. How many times have we felt incapable of doing something? And we didn't do it, even though God's word told us that we could. I know we've all done that, or we've all not done that. We didn't look at the victory of God through the eyes of our heart. Instead, what we saw was the defeat because of our natural eyes. God's telling us, you can do it, and we're thinking like, oh, I can't do that. God wants us to look past the seen trials, the seen tribulations, the things that we can see, and look to the unseen support that is out there. He wants us to be able to see His protection, His provision, His victory, the victory that's ours with the eyes of our heart. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an account there, a story that explains how God's support is there even when we can't see it in the natural. This is one of my favorite stories. I'm sure, they named a movie after this. You'll recognize it in a second. It was during this time that there was a king by the name of Aram, and he was at war with Israel. And every time he tried to ambush the Israelites, the prophet Elisha would warn them, the Jews, the Israelites, what was going to happen. And so they would avoid the ambush. And this king, and he was getting mad. He was getting really mad, and he found out it was Elisha that was defeating him, that was blowing his chances to take on the Israelites, and he became furious at him. So he sent an army of horses and chariots. After he found out where he was in the town of Dotham, he sent this army to go after him. And Elijah and his servant were now surrounded in this city or this town by all these horses and chariots. And this is where we come in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what are we going to do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. And here's this guy, this servant, he's going, "Don't be afraid, are you crazy? Look at this army, they're here to kill us. They're going to kill you, and I'm right here with you, so they're probably going to kill me." And he's getting scared. And so it says, the prophet answered, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he's thinking like, what? These people in the city? These families here? These kids? These women and children? And they're going to defeat this army? He's looking around. He's wondering, like, what is going on? I don't see anything. What are you talking about, Elisha? I don't see anything. And so it says, Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." So then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills. All around, the hills were filled with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, Elisha was protected. God was there for him. And he could see it. The servant couldn't until God opened his eyes. The servant was afraid because he only could see in the natural. But Elisha prayed that God would open up his eyes to see into the spiritual realm. That's what Paul prayed for us, that our eyes, the eyes of our heart, would be enlightened or opened. And so the servant did see. The help was already there. It was already there waiting. When he couldn't see it, when he was scared, when he thought they were all alone, when everything looked terrible, when he thought for sure they were going to be destroyed, he had no idea that all around him, the army was there. God's there for us too. He's there for us too. He promises to be there in ever-present help in times of trouble. That's the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, speaking of temptations. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Because He's right there. Right there. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it or endure it. That's a great scripture. That's a great promise. But what happens when we are tempted with sin? Do we look with the eyes of our heart and see God's provision? Do we look and do we see the door? Do we see the way out? Do we see a way to beat that thing? Or do we cave in to the pressure of the moment and give in? See, God will give us a way out. His Word says it, and that settles it. It's true. That's the truth. And we can see that with the eyes of the heart. Well, He will show us the way out. But if we don't look through those eyes, if we look with these eyes, if we think with this mind, if we think of our past experiences in the natural, the pressure is overwhelming and we give in. There are many people here today, many of us here, who are struggling with fears, problems, temptations, worries, whatever it might be, any type of negative type thing. The great deceiver is also hard at work, always trying to get us to give up, to feel frustrated, to feel like, what's the use? I can't do this. I can't beat this. I'll never overcome this. He's trying to get us to put our eyes back on the temporary, on ourselves, on our emotions, on anything but God. The last thing He wants for us to do is have an intimate relationship with God. I was picturing this last night. I was thinking about how God's there, and it's like, you ever see, they have movie screens, movie sets, and they bring down the scene, the set, and there's, like a mountain there or something, and then they bring down another one, it's a city street, and they bring down another one, and it's maybe, a car or an airplane, a road or something, and these are just scenes. And that's how, you see the play. That's the background for the play. And I was thinking about how it's like, here we are, and here's God. And the devil is always trying to get us to take our eyes off God. So God's right there, but the devil keeps dropping the scenes. Another scene, another scene, another scene. And it keeps getting us to take our eyes off of God. And we push away the scene, and before you know it, He drops another one. Another struggle. Another temptation. Another failure. Another whatever. Something to take our eyes off of God. We got to just push those things out of the way and have that kind of a relationship with God where those scenes, those phony scenes of the devils are gone. So what do we do? Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, God knows, I think, one of the biggest problems for Christians is that we get weary and lose heart. We get discouraged. We feel beaten up. We feel like, I've gone through this so many times. And we just feel bummed. We feel like, we let God down. Feel like we let ourselves down. We let our wife down. We let our husband down. We let our parents or our kids down. We let our work down. We let our friends down. We let our church down. What good am I? I'm just a bum. I'm no good. And that's how the devil works. He tries to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus, focus on the problems. Focus on our failures so that we will grow weary and lose heart. And God's word tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Just think about him. Consider him and all that he went through. He went through a lot too. And he somehow made it. So we need to get close to Jesus to get into his presence. So we can hang on to him. Get to know him through his word and through his Holy Spirit. We need to build a relationship with him. And you know what? Having a relationship with Jesus doesn't just happen. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you've been a Christian for 50 years, you may still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ of any real significance. Because to have a relationship with Jesus, just like we do with anyone else, we can be a friend to somebody and see them once every 5 years and still have a friendship and enjoy our time together when we get together for that 5 years, after that 5 years. But that relationship is lacking so much. There's no real intimacy there. It's hanging on by a thread because of past experience, because of maybe just commitment or loyalty in some way. But there's no intimacy of the relationship. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't just happen. We have to put effort. We have to make an effort to develop that relationship. We have to do it. We have to make it happen. God's doing his part. Jesus is doing his part. He's there. He's always right there knocking at the door. Let me in. Let me in. So we need to remember that all the things we go through, Jesus went through all that kind of stuff. He went through every temptation, and it says it was common to man. And he went through far worse than we did. I mean, he went to the cross, took on all the sins of the world. I don't think any of us have approached anything like that. And so then I was thinking, and somebody could be asking Jesus, so how'd that work out for you? You know how people say that? So how's that working out for you? Well, it actually worked out pretty good for him. He was sown perishable, but he was raised imperishable. He had a human body that he took on to come to this world, but he was raised up with a spiritual body. A body that was perfect in every way. A body that will experience no more pain, no more sorrow, no more hunger or thirst, any of those kind of things. He's alive and well, living with the Father for all eternity. Doesn't ever have to worry about dying. I think it worked out pretty well for him. And now God was telling us to consider him. So we not only consider what he went through, but we got to consider what he got. Because we get the same thing. We get all the benefits that Jesus got. We get it all. He has a glorious inheritance stored up for us. Remember that, where'd it go, that scripture I read? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. All that's ours now, you know? It's all, we get all that too. It's all guaranteed. It's not like a pension that can be taken away. This is something that is guaranteed by God, written in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what's in store for us. We just have to see through all the things we're going through, we need to be able to see through that and see to the other side. Jesus, remember it said, endured the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. You see, he had to go through all that pain and all that suffering and, you know, being cut off from the Father, taking the weight of the world's sins on his shoulders, you know, being hanging there on the cross and all that, the physical pain, but even worse, the torture of the spiritual pain of the sin poured out at him. A man who knew no sin, now he owned it. It was all on him. All that ugly sin, every disgusting thing that you can ever think, that you've ever thought about, that you've ever done, that you've ever heard that other people have done, all that was thrown on Jesus. And so he was able to see through that and see the joy on the other side of the cross. And I say this all the time, that joy was us, our salvation. The fact that now we can walk in his power, that we have the same glorious inheritance. So God, what's he doing? He's refining us. When we go through these things, we're being refined, we're being made, we're being molded into the image of Jesus Christ. We're going through the fire because that's part of the refining process. It's a process, but the results are well worth it. Well worth it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." There it is again. It's telling us to see with the eyes of our heart, not worrying about these troubles, seeing past them, because our light and momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the object of our faith. Our goal should be like him. To be, you know, that's what our goal should be, to be like him, to be with him, to see him in everything that we do. If we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, then Satan's attractions, all those panels, all those scenes, all those screens, they won't affect us. We'll see right through them. You ever see, in fact, a lot of times when you see a screen like that, if in certain light, you can see right through it. You ever notice that? You know, on certain screens, just like in a screen on your door, if you focus on the screen, you see the screen. But if you look through it, past it, you don't even see the screen anymore. You ever notice that? It's gone. And you see what's beyond it, clear as day. That's how God wants us to look at him and see him, fix our eyes on Jesus over here, not this thing that the devil puts in our face that's phony, that's not real. So if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, then those attractions or those fears or all those things of Satan won't affect us, and the trials and tribulations of the world won't sink us. Remember when Peter was out there in the boat, Jesus called him. He walked on the water. He actually did walk on the water as long as he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. It wasn't until he took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. And our God wants to help us to navigate through the rough seas in our life. He wants to open the eyes of our heart so that we can, according to Ephesians 1:18, so that we can know the hope to which he called us. So we can know it, know what's going to happen. It's a hope in Scripture when it talks about hope. Hope is a certainty there. It's a fact. It's something that we've set our hope on it, but it's not hope like, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope I can, you know, make it to, you know, this place on time, or I hope I can. Those are just wishful thinking kind of things. This is a hope that is, it is a certainty. It's a hope, it says in the Bible, that does not disappoint us. It tells us in Ephesians 1:18 that we can know the riches of our glorious inheritance. That's what God wants us to know. He wants us to see that. He wants us to be able to, you know, see that ahead and know that it's real. See that with the eyes of our heart. He wants us to know the incomparably great power that is ours. It's for those who believe. If we believe in God, if we believe in His Word, if we believe in Jesus and, you know, what He's done, then we need to know that we have this incomparably great power. He's given us all authority to trample on snakes and fight the enemy and overcome all the things of the enemy. He's given us that, but with these eyes, we don't see it. With this mind, we don't know it. But in here, through the eyes of our heart, in the depth of our being, that's where we can believe it and live it. All of this is for every one of us. Everyone here who, you know, who believes in God, God is wanting. He is working, you know, to help us to be able to see. He wants to open the eyes of our heart. We sing that song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to know that even though we are living in this material world for the time being, that we are living in the spiritual world for all eternity. And the world that we see around us, that we see every day, that we see right now, is just a very small part of all that is really around us, a small part of the world that is, for the most part, unseen. The stuff that we see with our natural eyes doesn't compare to what is out there that can only be seen with our spiritual eyes, with the eyes of our heart. We think that we dwell in time now and then eternity after we die. Well, we're going to go into eternity. But in reality, we're already living in eternity. We really are. It's just that in the midst of eternity that we're in, we're just occupying this short space of time while we wear this suit of flesh that will soon be taken off and gone. But our spirit is still going to be living in eternity. That's living right now. Even in this natural, temporary, material world, God's truths still apply. They really do. We need to look at every situation with God's eyes, the eyes of our heart, so that we can apply God's truth to that situation. So that way we can do the things that God created us to do, the works He prepared beforehand for us to do, that it talks about in Ephesians 2:10. We can't afford to be blinded by the schemes and the deceptions of the devil and even our own flesh. We don't want to be blinded and shot down by those things. We have to see and apply these eternal truths in every situation, every trial, every temptation, every relationship that we're in. Whether it's at home, whether it's at church, whether it's at work or school or whatever. God wants us to take His eternal truths and bring them into those situations. That's how we change the world, like we sang in that one song. That's how we fulfill our purpose in life, the purpose that God called us to. Anything that's not based on the truth of God has a very unsteady foundation, something built on sand. And it'll just come crashing down when the wind and the waves come. Remember the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. When Jesus had died and was erected. They were walking down this road. And Jesus was right there beside them, walking with them. And yet their faces were downcast because in the natural, they knew that Jesus was dead. They knew he'd been crucified and was put in that tomb. So why should they even be concerned now about who this person was? Why should they expect that to be Jesus? Jesus was dead. To the natural, he was. But then they kept walking along, and Jesus began to unfold the scriptures to them. And all of a sudden, their hearts began to burn inside them, and the eyes of their hearts were opened. And they got closer and more intimate with Jesus. As they sat down, they began to eat with him, and they listened and they received the word of God from Jesus Christ himself, the resurrected Jesus. Their eyes were opened and they were filled with joy. And Jesus is here with us now. He says he wants to come in and eat with us. Me and my Father, we'll come in and eat with you. We'll have supper with you, he said. He tells us that the Holy Spirit will be here with us and will remind us of everything that Jesus said. Will speak the truth to us. Will let us know what's really going on. Will tell us to turn to the right or the left. The closer we get to God, the more intimate we get, the more our hearts' eyes will be opened. When Paul was commissioned as an apostle by God, God himself commissioned Paul. In Acts 26:17, this is what God said. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. Why? It says, to open their eyes. Did Paul go around and pray for everybody's eyesight and open their eyes? No, that's not what he did. He may have prayed for one or two here or there, but that's not what he did. That's not what God sent him out to do. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Everything we just talked about. God wants to give each one of us a new vision. He wants to open the eyes of our heart so we can see his kingdom, so we can see his handiwork all around us, so we can see others as he can see them, so we can love others through the eyes of Christ, so that we can understand the eternal. He wants us to be able to see his truth instead of those scenes, the lies of Satan, all the things that we can't do, all the things that Satan will try to stop us from doing, all the things our fears and our doubts will stop us from doing. God wants us to see his truth so we can do it. God wants to touch your eyes today. He wants to touch the eyes of your heart. It's part of his ministry to heal the brokenhearted. And that's a part of it. A heart that's broken won't see clearly. Eyes that are broken, you know, they don't work. And we're talking about the eyes of the heart. He wants to give sight to the blind, as he told Paul, open up their eyes and turn them so we can be free to walk in our purpose and in our calling. God wants to enlighten the eyes of your heart with his truth. Sarah, can you play? I have a little song I want you to listen to. In light of this message, I want you to listen to this song. Now, you might very well have heard it on the radio, but maybe now it'll have a little more meaning for you. Go ahead and put it up there.
Takes to climb out of this boat of men, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. Of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. Voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
We want to listen to, right? Well, if I could have the prayer team come forward, I just want to close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you really do want to open up the eyes of our heart and allow us to see into the spiritual realm. Lord, that you would, we pray that you would help us every day more and more to be able to look not just with our natural eyes, not just think with our natural mind and intelligence, but that we would be able to think and see with faith through the eyes of our heart and see what is really going on around us and see your truth, see your strength, see your provision, see your power, see your victory that is all around us. Lord, help us to be a victorious, powerful people that who know the hope which we've been given, the glorious inheritance that we have, and the power that you have given to us, Lord God. Help us to see all these things, to know the reality of who Jesus is and all that he's done for us. Hallelujah, Lord God. I just pray your vision, your eyes, your sight upon all of us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.